O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord,
to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president in all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
Call on me in the day of trouble.
I will deliver you, and you will glorify me.
Spare us, O Lord, and mercifully forgive our sins. Though by our continual transgressions we have merited your chastisements, be gracious to us. Grant that all these punishments which we have deserved may not come upon us, but that all things may work to our everlasting good. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Then they said, "Come, let us make plots against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us strike him with the tongue, and let us not pay attention to any of his words. Hear me, O Lord, and listen to the voice of my adversaries. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for my life. Remember how I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to famine. Give them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives become childless and widowed. May their men meet death by pestilence, their youths be struck down by the sword in battle. May a cry be heard from their houses when you bring the plunderer suddenly upon them. For they have dug a pit to take me and laid snares for my feet. Yet you, O Lord, know all their plotting to kill me. Forgive not their iniquity, nor blot out their sin from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you.
They shall see the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power.
To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are fallen and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living man.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. What do you believe about Jesus? There really are only a couple of options. At least there are only a couple of options if you accept that the New Testament has any historical truth or value at all. C.S. Lewis summed up the options pretty well, what he called the three options in a trilemma of sorts. And I want to read you what he said about the options of what people might believe about Jesus. Some people say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a teacher and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any of this patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. And so C.S. Lewis says that if you take the scriptures in any sense as having historical value and the things that Jesus says as having been really said by him, then you're left with either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Long before C.S. Lewis wrote that, although not in quite the same words, it seems like the Jewish leaders understood this. We've been dipping into the Gospel of John here in the season of Lent, and we've seen their growing indignation and resentment toward Jesus. They cannot accept, they cannot believe the things that Jesus says about himself. Such as, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. And when Jesus says those words, they are ready to reach down and pick up stones to stone him. They cannot receive what Jesus says, but they consider it instead to be blasphemy. They threaten Jesus' life. They recognize that either his words must be true and he is Lord, or he is a liar. Or he is simply crazy. If we go back to our Old Testament reading today, we see that people in Jeremiah's day were just as unable to receive what he, a prophet, said. And they make that interesting line at the beginning of what we read where they say, a prophet, you cannot take a priest's serving away from him, or words from a prophet, basically saying the only way to stop Jeremiah from speaking is to silence him forever. They go from passive stubbornness to a willingness to make plots, threats, and attempts on Jeremiah's life. Why? Because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Because they were so committed to their own self-centered lifestyles and idolatry that they refused to hear him, to respond, and to repent. Even if rejecting Jeremiah meant rejecting God. And his enemies are more than willing to use his own words against him. I consider us as well. We, of course, are gathered here because we desire to hear the words of Jesus. But are there times or ways in which we might rather shut his words out of our lives? when we might rather reduce him to silence, when we would prefer not to hear what he has to say? Are there times when we might, in our willingness to turn the page from something the scriptures say, actually set aside the Bible and God's word altogether? The same danger that threatened the Jewish people in Jeremiah's day and in Jesus's. With Jesus, we have more than just his words. We also have his works. And that's what Jesus says when they pick up the stone to stone him. He says, "For which of the works that I've done are you going to stone me?" Do you want to stone Jesus for having changed the water into wine at the wedding of Cana? Or do you want to stone Jesus for healing the official's son when he was ill? Or making the lame man to walk? Or feeding the 5,000? Or, as we heard this last Sunday, taking the man who was born blind and giving him new eyes? For which of these works, Jesus says, do you want to stone me? And they say, "Oh, it's not your works that bother us. We're perfectly happy with the things you've done." Well, maybe not so much when you do it on the Sabbath day. It's not for your works, Jesus. It's for your words. Jesus wants to link those two things closely together. The things that he says go along with the things that he does. They are reinforcing of one another. The Jewish leaders want to take the works of Jesus, but they want to be far away from his words. Just like the people about whom C.S. Lewis was writing want to take some of the teachings of Jesus, but leave other things to the side. It's all or nothing with Jesus. You take his works and therefore his words, and you have the whole Jesus, or you must reject all of them. Jesus says, "If you will not believe what I say, then at least believe the evidence of what you have seen and heard that I have done." And the testimony of his deeds is overwhelmingly strong. Has anyone since the beginning of the world ever heard that a man born blind has received sight? The Creator is at work. His works are so overwhelmingly strong because of the intimate relationship that Jesus has with his Father. When you see him work, you are seeing, in fact, the very working of God the Father in and through him. Jesus is saying that his miracles have taken place by the power of God, and so his words must be received in the same way. Or else you place Jesus into the class of cheaters and deceivers and liars and hoaxes. To the charge of blasphemy, Jesus does have one response from the scriptures. He points out how in the Psalms, there's one little line where it says that God declares even some of the leaders to be gods, small letter G. Reminds me of the time when God is preparing Aaron to come to Moses, and he says to Moses that you will be like God to him. Jesus says, if that's the case, if even the leaders of the people through whom the word of God was delivered to the Jews were called gods in a small g sort of sense, how much more does he deserve the designation? He who has been separated, ordained, and hallowed and sent out by God for the work that he is now performing. You being a man, make yourself out to be God. And Jesus says, you are absolutely right. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And the options are to kill him as a liar and blasphemer, or to bend the knee and bow before him. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, which is something to keep in mind as we move through these next 2.5 weeks. That everything that Jesus done is not his alone, but is what he was sent to do by the Father. And even when his life is threatened, Jesus will not run away from those threats, but he leans into them. He heads toward them. He will do another sign, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and thereby incur even greater anger and wrath against him, to the point where they decide that he must be stopped. and they are willing to have him placed upon the cross. Jesus is not running from the threats to his life. He is not running from the accusations of blasphemy, but he is saying that they have gotten it wrong, that the works that he has done and the words that he has said go together, and they point to one irrefutable fact, that he is the Lord, the Son of God, come in human flesh, and come to do the greatest work of all, in offering his life, his love, for you and for me. We see what Jesus has done. We hear his words, and we believe him, as many did when Jesus said and did these things. He is no liar. He is no lunatic. But he is the Son of God, your Lord, who has redeemed you with his own precious blood, that you might be his own and live with him in his kingdom forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And preserve us all faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Behold in mercy all who are sick, who suffer, and who rejoice, especially Ralph, who is in rehab. And be with all expectant mothers, all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor, that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith, to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name. Amen. Love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit.